Lord God, we can be like Thomas, doubting your goodness, doubtful that we are really forgiven. We wish to believe more strongly, to hold fast, not to falter when dark days come. We are the Church of Jesus Christ, your Son, and we rejoice in the forgiveness of sins, which makes an Easter of our lives. Please help us to believe and trust in the love which Jesus trusted, the love we call God and Providence. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. All came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's needs. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith, to a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. In this you rejoice, although now for a little while you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that is perishable even though tested by fire, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now yet, you believe in him. You rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. It was a very busy day at the Ronald Reagan International Airport in Washington, D.C., and there was a long line of customers waiting at one particular airline ticket counter, and there was this man who impatiently just made his way to the counter without waiting dutifully in the line, put a $10 bill on the counter and said, "I want to go to New York." And the ticket agent said, "I'm sorry, sir, but you can't go to New York for $10. Then he angrily said, well, where can I go?" And then about 14 people behind him were able to tell him where he can go. So today Jesus tells us where we need to go. After the resurrection, that was always part of his message when he appeared as the resurrected Lord to them. Go into all world and tell the good news. Proclaim the gospel. That was his message. So he said, "As the Father sent me, I send you now." That was he compared it. God sent his Son into the world, and then the Son now sends us. Where do we go? And what do we do? So we heard today that Thomas was not with the rest of the followers of Jesus. We don't know. He went maybe for a walk or visit somebody or went back to his family. He was not in the community of the believers. So he missed out on that first day of Jesus' resurrection. He missed out on encountering the resurrected Christ, which reminds us when community gathers together, there is a better chance for us to experience the resurrected Christ. Jesus could have appeared to Thomas on his own somewhere in private, but he didn't. A week later, Thomas is now in the community praying, although they are behind locked doors, afraid and fearful for their lives. Now Jesus immediately goes to Thomas and says to him, "Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Even offers him physical proof that he is risen. Thomas was doubting. Sometimes we use that expression, doubting Thomas. But we know that Jesus didn't want him to remain unbelieving. He wanted him to believe. So Jesus offers two proofs to him that he is alive. The physical proof, of course, because he even says to him, put your fingers into the nail marks. Put your hand into my side. And then he offers also spiritual proof that he is alive. What is that spiritual proof? His mercy. Jesus doesn't judge him. Jesus doesn't condemn him. He just says, "Do not be unbelieving. You can't build your life on doubts. However, you can build your life on faith." That's an important message. What can we build on doubts? Nothing. However, we know what we can build on faith, especially deep, active faith in Christ. So that's what Jesus offered Thomas. He didn't say, "Well, this is the casualty I have to accept. Thomas doubted, so he can't follow me anymore." No, Jesus offered him another chance, divine mercy. And of course, it wasn't just to him. Remember what he said. When he breathed on all those in the room, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them." Jesus did exactly that. He forgave doubting Thomas. He offered him divine mercy. And whose sins you don't forgive will not be forgiven. So again, it's a reminder for us to forgive unconditionally the way God forgives us, the way Jesus forgave Thomas for doubting. And of course, we hear when what Jesus offered to the early community still offers to us, and how the early community was able to translate what Jesus offered them. We heard in the first reading that they tried to share as much as possible. Some even sold their property, so those who had nothing would have something to live on. There was generosity among them. Incredible way of life. And what was the result? Every day, there were new members brought in. God increased their numbers because divine love was present among them, divine mercy.
And in the second reading, Saint Peter reminded us what we are about, that we are offered the salvation of our souls. What a great gift. Again, what do we do with that gift? That salvation needs to be made visible. The early church made it visible. Jesus made it visible to Thomas. And in fact, why was Thomas able to say, "My Lord and my God"? Because in that moment he encountered Jesus that he knew throughout his life. Jesus that forgave many other sinners. Thomas experienced it too. And of course that was a challenge for him, because he was for sure going to encounter doubting. New Christians who doubted sometimes. Did we make the right step in following Christ? What will happen to us? How will our lives change? So again, that's a reminder for us to always share God's divine mercy and love. There is nothing better that we can do. And we know when we do that, what happens. We grow as God's people, and our communities grow and become stronger. So again, Thomas was not in the community. We know how important it is to gather together, to pray together. What happens here, how God blesses us as a community of faith. Certainly he blesses us individually, but Jesus said that we must do this together. There is a story that was written, or an article that was written, and the title of it was, "If I Were Starting My Family Again." So in this article, a father of five children shares what happened to him one day when there was a horrible storm, thunder and lightning and heavy rain. And his little son was very afraid. So he told his son, "Don't be afraid, son. God loves you. He will protect you. Nothing bad will happen to him, to you." And the little boy said, "Yes, Dad, I know God loves me and will protect me, but I would like to have somebody with skin on at this moment." So the father said, when he heard those words, he said, If I were starting my family again, this is what I would like to be about all things: God's love with skin on." Think about it. That's exactly our call. Yes, we can talk about God's love. Thomas encountered God's love with skin on. In Jesus, we encountered that love. And of course, he calls us. Now you do that. You follow my example. So let us be that. Let us be God's love, God's mercy with skin on, wherever God sends us. We know that's the commissioning that Jesus gives us. It will never change.
Thanks for listening to this week's service. To stay up to date on the latest news involving our parish, please visit our website at goodshepherd-sc.org.